Ramsey TV.
Knowledge is so specific in this life, and it's just given out so piecemeal by God. My frustration with the toilet seat was that God has caused me to understand the secrets of the universe, the origins and the destinations of all things, God's control over the heavens and the earth, the outcome of infinite grace, the plan of the eons, and all of this, yet I don't know how to remove a toilet seat. This is Martin Zender from the bottom of the edge of the Floridan Peninsula, ready to brace for a hurricane. Looks like it's shifting north. I'm not that concerned about it. Don't worry about it. I'm recording this on Saturday morning. Don't know what's going to happen yet. My preparations are none. I bought some flowers over here. That's the extent of my preparations. I bought some flowers, so it's good enough. I think that'll work. The flowers make me feel pretty confident. So let's talk about, oh, by the way, Manfred Jones called me after that video when I was bewailing and bemoaning my toilet seat situation. That's the last thing you want is a little waggle in your toilet seat. You don't need any kind of waggle whatsoever. So this is very unsatisfying. Manfred came to the rescue. Manfred Jones lives here in Plantation, called me and said, Martin, when do you want me to come up and fix your toilet seat? Oh, this guy, he's a savior. So that's going to happen soon. And the waggle will be gone, and the Japanese toilet seat will be put into place. Of course, I will report to you, because now the body of Christ suffers together, and my concerns are your concerns. I thank you for that very much. So I want to talk about renewing of our minds. I struggle with other people's struggles. People want to have, like, emotional experiences of God. People want to touch God. People want to see God. People want to get shivers down their spines about God. People want to, they want their boring relationships to be broken up by supernatural experiences. Now, I understand this completely. And there is a day coming when you will have all the supernatural experiences you can handle. You will walk and talk with Jesus Christ himself. I mean, we will be rising in the air to meet Christ, and we will be taken to a celestial home. Some call it heaven. Some call it heaven. It's all very practical, as you know. I do not teach pie in the sky fantasies. I teach from the Word of God. And as you also know, I am not a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ, but I am not part of that formal popular organization that claims to own the franchise on Jesus Christ and claims to know exactly what Jesus Christ is going to do, because, as you know, they in fact are not acquainted with the true Jesus Christ, but with the pop icon image of Jesus Christ, who does nothing like what the real Jesus Christ does. So I am not in that camp. And yet, many who are, I understand the need to want this physical handling of the truth. And yet, you will continuously be frustrated in this life as we currently are walking through it, because this is not now the time for physical, for spine-tingling phenomenon. Although, what I'm going to say will make your spine tingle. Before the end of this show, your spine will tingle. So there are physical and emotional manifestations of truth that God graciously gives us, but it is not of the variety of that sought by people who want the, what I call, the cotton candy experience. That's not in the cards right now, because this is a walk of faith, primarily, not of perception. And faith, I remind you, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is the assurance of things that are not being observed. So we do not yet observe all the things God is going to do for us, all the sensations we're going to feel, all the wonderful cotton candy experiences that God has in mind for us. Along that line, I've been accused of being mental, not a mental case. Well, some people have accused me of that, but I've been accused of reducing relationship with God to information. I have been accused of reducing the divine experience to that of memorizing verses, to that of like a computer that just receives information, processes the information, makes sure the information is correct. And while I am doing that, I am, according to accusations made about me, I am completely ignoring this softer, more lovey-dovey, more thrilling experience with God. In other words, there is the intellectual pursuit of God, so goes the popular theory, and there is this emotional, more interactive experience with God where we walk with Him and we talk with Him, and it has nothing to do with facts or information, but it has completely to do with an emotional connection between us and God. Now, I am not belittling whatsoever the desire for that physical and emotional intimacy. I want it just like everybody else does. Okay? But I am in tune with the era, and I know what God is doing, and I see how He is operating now in contrast to how He will operate then. And now He is operating again by faith, not perception. However, having said that, we cannot, this is the main point of the whole show, we cannot divorce information about God from a living, vital, experiential walk and attitude and emotional connection with God, because they are related. I'm going to tell you how. So I don't want anybody saying that, oh, Martin just gives out information, but if you want a real spiritual walk with God, if you want an intimate walk with God, you have to go somewhere else. Oh no, because there, chances are really good that your emotional heart experience with God is based on wishful thinking, is based on emotions only, is based on imagination. My intimate walk with God, which is as real as can be, it's as real a relationship as there can be, is based on things God is telling me about Himself. God, this is what God wants. Nobody ever asks this question. What does God want? What kind of emotional thing does God want? You know what God wants? He wants to be known. God wants to be understood. God wants to be grasped for what He is and for what He does. Just like you, when you get into a relationship with a member of the opposite sex, you want them to know you. If you're any kind of partner at all, you want to be exposed to that person. You want to be transparent to that person. And then so what you do, you tell that person about your past. You tell them about past relationships. And they ask, if they are good people, they will ask probing questions about your life. Not because they're nosy, because they want to know you. Because when they know you, it will generate in them feelings. Yes, feelings are not divorced here. Feelings of admiration, feelings of devotion, feelings of love, feelings of like toward you. And so instead of seeing the scriptures as a collection of verses and facts and information, I would like us to now look at this book as, let me put it in a relative way, let me put it in an emotional way. This is a desperate attempt by the God of the universe to let you know who He is, what His heart is like, to confess all His motivations, why He does what He does. It's a desperate attempt, if I can speak humanly here, a tribute to God, human emotions that He doesn't really have, but which I need now to convey to you why this book even exists. It's a desperate attempt of God to say, please understand what I'm doing, what I'm about, what I think, why I think the way I do and what I plan to do. Because this is God speaking. Again, the world is filled with false ideas of me. The world is full of false information concerning me. People lie about me all the time. Please read a correctly translated version of my word to you, because I desperately want to be known. I desperately want you to know my heart. And I'm pouring it out in sentences and paragraphs that my spirit inspired people to write down so that I could have an intimate relationship with you. Stop right there. What did I just say? This is Martin Zender speaking. I'm saying that the relay of information leads directly to an intimate relationship. The relay of information from God leads directly to an intimate relationship with God. This is why I, Martin Zender, am desperate for you to understand that my sticklerhood for sound translating, for getting the right words, for understanding what God is saying, is not some intellectual pursuit void of an intimate relationship. I'm all into it. I'm all into the intimate relationship. Love it. Love it. But I know that that relationship is based on God confessing things about himself to us. Along that line, I am going to give you a verse. You've heard me read this verse to you many times. I've probably paraphrased it. It's a short verse, but it says a lot. And it says everything, and it explains this concern people have with Martin Zender so intellectual. Yes, but I'm not intellectual for the sake of being intellectual. I'm not intellectual because I want to have more knowledge than anybody else. I want to be the king of the heap as far as information goes. I want to have more verses in my arsenal. I want to be more fortified with the word of God than anybody. No, this is not a freaking contest of how many verses you have memorized, of how much you know. I wouldn't care about any of this unless it exposed to me the heart of the one I am panting after, I am seeking, that is God. Apart from that, this is all just cold, useless information. And how many people do you know who have the Bible memorized? I have people that have told me that their pastor has read the Bible 22 times, Martin. My pastor read the Bible 22 times. And yet this pastor who has read the Bible 22 times has no clue about God's heart. They think that God will eternally torment most of his creation. They think that God has given away his sovereignty to every one of his creatures and now just sits around hoping things will work out correctly. These people think that Satan is actually running the universe, actually pulling fast ones on God, and that God is desperately trying to keep up. This is false information about God. It does not endear you to God. It does not endear God to you. And it's just a tragedy and a disaster. And so, listen, I'm not one of those people who pursue this for the intellect, the intellectual conquest. Just like I've never, I'll get personal here, TMI maybe, stop me, I don't know, but I've never pursued women with the idea of sexual conquest, never. But I know people, and of course the movies are full of people, men just want to conquer as many women as they can, to put like notches on their belt. I've been with 1,000 women. Who? 1,000 women. Who gives a crap, you idiot? With me, it's all about the relationship. It's all about the intimacy. It's all about transparency. It's all about two becoming one. And that happens when people are transparent. That happens when people let down their guards and open up. That then leads to transcendent sexual experiences that are not notches on a belt, but rather the blossoming of something far deeper, far more meaningful, to me anyway, which is knowing another person. God is not a person, but this scripture is him wanting to be known. Romans 12:3. Let's get the context. I'll start in Romans 12:1. Paul, I'm entreating you then, brethren, by the pities of God, to present your bodies a sacrifice, living, holy, well-pleasing to God, your logical divine service, and not to be configured to this eon. I'll make further comments on that, as you probably figured. Do not be configured to this eon, but be transformed. Everybody loves that word, even those who want this emotional, fun, dynamic, touchy-feely relationship with God. They want to be transformed, but how does it happen? Paul says this transformation comes by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say it happens by the removal of your mind. And yet I have been told by some people, others have suggested it strongly, that in order to know God, we have to put our mind, put our thinking processes, put our the logical apparatus of our mental gamemanship on the shelf so that we can pursue God with a spiritual longing. But my friends, in the scriptures, in another place, I think it's 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about spiritual words. Words are spiritual. This pursuit of God's attitude, God's mood, God's modus operandi, his motivations, it's as spiritual as can be. And the transforming of your mind is basically Paul saying, I want you to think differently about God. How do we think differently about God? By finding out more about God. Where do we find out more about God? In the scriptures. Paul says, I want you to be transformed. And everybody's looking for transformation. Everybody wants to be transformed. It sounds very spiritual, and it is, but how does it happen? By the renewing of your mind. Not the renewing of your emotions, not by the renewing of your wishful thinking apparatus, but it's by renewing of your mind. And the mind is that thing which thinks. And what are we to think on? We are to think on the declarations of God. Jesus said that a human does not live by bread alone, but by every declaration, every word that comes out of the mouth of God. This Holy Scriptures is a record of words that have come out of the mouth of God. And they are as important and vital to us as food, as bread. This is the clear point Jesus Christ was making, that this Word of God is as necessary to us as food. So no one would say that seeking food, going to a restaurant, ordering from a menu, would be an intellectual pursuit. It's all about the joy of eating. It's all about the pleasures of savoring food that you're about to eat. This is why I say the pursuit of truth, the pursuit of knowledge, which sometimes requires a concordance, sometimes requires going into the original languages of Hebrew and Greek. These are every bit as pleasing and as saturatingly wonderful to the soul as is the contemplation of a five-course meal. So let us not entertain for a second this thought that we must remove our minds in order to enter into a true experience with God. No. Do not hang your brain at the door of this relationship with God. Do not leave your logic outside with the welcome mat in order to enter the sacred precincts. No. You bring your brain with you. You bring your logic with you. And the most wonderful thing I ever discovered about the truth back in 1986 was that for the first time I understood that I did not have to surrender my mind, my logic, my practical thinking in order to know God as I was taught. I was taught that, well, this is your real life, this is your logical life, this is your practical life over here, and then here's your God life over here. And it's kind of shadowy, and it's kind of mysterious and spooky. That is religious superstition. It is myth. It leads people astray into the worst, most convoluted rabbit holes you can ever imagine. It is only as we retain our minds, retain our logic, retain our ability to think and reason, and when these faculties become possessed by the Spirit of God, it is the Spirit of God that renews our mind. It takes the same mind, the same brain, but now instead of that mind and that brain being fueled by the soul, by the emotions of the person, the same mind, the same brain, the same logic is now fueled by a different source, and that is the Spirit of God. So it's the Spirit of God of God that renews our current mind, causes us to think new thoughts about God, that is, accurate thoughts about God, and this cannot help but lead to a joyous, invigorating, and even emotional experience in the divine precincts.